Hello and welcome to Faith Conversations. My name is Mel Lorenz, and I'm really glad you decided to listen today. Whether you're listening on the live radio broadcast or via the internet, we're glad that you're with us. And remember that anytime that you want, you can come and listen to Faith Conversations, now with a new address on the web, thebrooknetwork.org, which has resources for all kinds of issues of leadership and life. And we're glad that you've joined us. Today, my guest is Dr. Michelle Anthony, who is pastor of family ministries at Rock Harbor Church in California and the author of a book called Spiritual Parenting, An Awakening for Today's Families. Thank you, Michelle, for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we stumbled upon your book, Michelle, or it was recommended to us when we were doing here at Elmbrook Church a series on family matters. And you wrote this book about parenting. There's a lot of books out there about parenting, but you've got a special angle on it. And I must say it resonated with a lot of us who have believed for a long time that you got to get beyond the nuts and bolts of parenting and control issues and so on and get to the issue of spiritual nurture. But why don't we start by letting you explain what you mean by spiritual parenting?
You're right. There's no shortage of books on parenting, and we enter into parenting and we're desperate. We'll read anything if somebody has a good idea because we don't want to mess it up. We only get one shot at parenting. But I also realized through my own journeys and just the things I was reading that many of them were just focusing on kind of trying to get us through the day or the week. And I really just felt like there had to be more to parenting than just, you know, having my kids eat healthy and get their homework done and getting them to sports or school. There had to be a bigger picture, you know, something that we might have been missing. And so I call it spiritual parenting because it's not perfect parenting, and sometimes people think that when they hear the word spiritual. But spiritual parenting meaning that we're going to parent from a spiritual perspective. We're going to parent with eternity in mind instead of just getting through the day.
So concretely, what is the spiritual side of parenting? Can you give us some examples?
The spiritual side of parenting is going to say that God created my child, and then he entrusted that specific child into my home for a reason, that he has this master plan. He's writing this big God story, if you will, and he's inviting us to be a part of it. And so my job as a parent is to be asking God, what is that plan that you first of all have for my life? And then how do you want me to participate with you in the plans that you have for my child's life? And how can I create an environment in my home that's going to come alongside of what you want to do and how you want to prepare them for the future that they have? And so it's really just having our children the way God would look at our children.
Michelle, what is the goal of spiritual parenting?
I think a lot of times we might think that the goal of raising our kids is that, you know, they behave beautifully in public, that they embarrass us as, you know, least amount of possible times in any given day, and that they grow up to be productive citizens in society. I think the goal of spiritual parenting, of course, some of those things are good, but it really looks at the heart of a child. It's not just saying, don't embarrass me in public, so stop that bad behavior now. It says, I want to look deeper into your heart. I want to help create an environment where we can reveal those things that are broken in you. We all have brokenness because of sin. And then allow a safe place for the Holy Spirit to transform you and God's Spirit to come alongside and bring healing to those parts as he redeems our lives so that we can be the fullest expression of who God created us to be.
What does faith look like in the life of a child, Michelle, in a young child, adolescent? What is a parent looking for? How much should one expect a child's faith to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think faith doesn't have these objective markers like maybe other things that we are teaching our children, like math or, you know, how to make a bed or cook a meal. It doesn't necessarily have those objective markers. And sometimes when we put super objective markers on our children's faith formation, that's when we run into the danger of the behavior modification or the moral behavior, because those are things we can measure. You know, well, they're not swearing. You know, they're not doing drugs, they're not doing these things, and, you know, they're going to church on Sundays. And while some of those things are good, remember, spiritual parenting says, I'm going to look at the heart. And when you look at those things, when you say, gosh, we could have all of the right behaviors and the absence of the wrong behaviors, but I can have a child who's completely spiritually void, that they don't understand what it means to have a relationship with God. We don't want that in the long run. And so I would say the faith markers, we have to sort of take our focus off of just looking at the exterior, and we have to look at the heart. And so, does my child know what it means to have a relationship with God? Do they know His voice? Because there's a lot of voices clamoring for our kids to tell them to look a certain way and to be a certain way. Do they feel secure in their identity of who God is? And so much of that is our example, and so much of it is how we model who God is, correct vision of who God is as our Father. And then second, do they seem to have a desire to obey? I mean, we're all going to make mistakes. We're going to be failing all over the place. Our children will, we will. But do they have a desire? Do we see that heart like, oh, I failed in this, but I want to be forgiven and I want to, you know, make this right with God? So that heart issue. I think the third thing we want to look for in faith is that they're hearing His voice. They know His character. They have a desire to obey, but then they're also not trying to do it in their own strength. I think oftentimes as Christians, we try to live out our spiritual faith in our own strength, and we get up every morning, we try harder, and we're just going to reach a dead end in our own strength. So I think a faith marker for our children is that we see that they are depending upon God, they're going to Him in prayer, they're knowing that they will fail if they don't have His help.
You're listening to Faith Conversations. Today my guest is Dr. Michelle Anthony, who is the author of Spiritual Parenting and Awakening for Today's Families. Tell us, Michelle, a little bit about your professional background, the nature of the work that you do, and how you came to write this book.
Professionally, my background was, from a scholastic point of view, is I did my undergrad work at Biola University in Christian education and Bible, and went on to get a master's in Christian education and theology, and then did my doctoral work in education and theology. I serve as the family ministry director at Rock Harbor Church in Costa Mesa, California. I oversee birth through high school and then our parenting and marriage ministries. And I also serve as the family ministry architect for David C. Cook Publishing, overseeing the resources that we're providing for churches in the area of family ministries and parents being primary in their home. And how I came to write this book was just out of my own spiritual journey of raising my children, who are now 17 and a half and 20. And so kind of on the back end of some of this daily intentional parenting, but there are stories of my own journey of how God was teaching me what it meant to be a parent. I can tell you a little story. I think early on, I was just confronted with my own inability to know what it meant to parent my kids from a spiritual perspective. I saw role models. I was reading plenty of books and, you know, articles, and they seemed to fall short when my strong-willed daughter was, you know, confronting me in a, you know, epic battle of the will, so to speak. And one day at 4 years old, she just looked at me and said, "I don't have to do what you say." And she said, "I don't have to do what you say because you're only third in charge." She went on to articulate that God was first in charge, then my husband, and then me. And, you know, it wasn't one of my better parenting moments. There was yelling, there was tears, I was completely losing control of the situation. But in that, her words became almost prophetic for me, because I went in my room feeling like a complete failure, and I just fell to my knees, and I recognized that if I was going to do this parenting thing and not mess it up royally, that I would have to start seeing God as first in charge, first in my life and in the life of my kids, and created a real dependence, and not just in kind of the book definition sense, but really in every moment of every parenting situation, just to go to Him, even if it was just in a split second, to say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do here? Give me the words, or teach me what I'm supposed to do."
I've always thought it's a brave thing for a parent to write a book about parenting, because there are so many things that must go through your mind, you know, some of which you include in a book, and obviously others that you don't. What would you say, Michelle, to parents who might be listening to this interview who right now are discouraged because they're seeing more struggles than victories? They feel like they're kind of losing a grip on their parenting. How do you dig your way out of a hole?
Well, there's a couple things. One, I would say that our whole goal in parenting is to pass on our faith to the next generation. And we can't give away something we don't have. So the first thing is that we have to have faith. And not only faith in God that He's in control of our lives, but faith in Him that He's in control of our kids' lives. And so when we feel slipping out of our hands or we're losing control, sometimes that's exactly where God wants us, because He wants us to relinquish control. And it's kind of in those moments that we fall to our knees and we recognize that we weren't in charge in the first place. We weren't first in charge. So sometimes God can use those circumstances to bring us into correct relationship. But sometimes we are independent and we're depending on Him and we're doing all those right things, but our kids are still kind of going awry. And I think that we have to surround ourselves with the faith community. We have to be in prayer, and we have to have faith that God will pursue our children even when we fail or even when it looks bleak. Philippians 1:6 says that He who began a good work in us will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. So He's going to pursue our kids, and He's tenacious in His love for all of His created beings. So He will do that. And we have to remember the story isn't finished, you know. We take a snapshot of today, it's not finished. And so we remain faithful, we love, and we create an environment that puts God's love on display. We have to have faith to not succumb to fear. So I think those are some of the practical things we can do.
Michelle, in your book, you talk about different kinds of environments, as you call them, that give the Holy Spirit room to bring about spiritual growth. What's the concept of environments, and why is that important?
Yeah, it even kind of goes along with what we were just talking about, because I think as parents, when we start feeling like we're losing control, oftentimes we kind of instate more control because we feel out of control. And so we start feeling responsible to see spiritual growth in our children. And when we don't naturally see it, we start imposing it. And we start playing the role that really is God's role to play. He's the only one that can do transformation of the heart. We can set up systems of reward and punishment to make our children's behavior align with what we want them to do, but we can't change anyone's heart, not our friends, not our spouse, and not our children. And so the concept of environments says, I'm not God. He's the one that transforms hearts. That's His job, when and as He chooses. And then it kind of begs the question, well, then what's my job as a parent? If that's not my job, what is? And the concept was, gosh, my job is to come alongside of what God's doing. And I can create environments in my home that align with what He's doing, that don't sabotage what He's doing, and that put God on display in all of truth.
You're listening to Faith Conversations. Today we're speaking with Dr. Michelle Anthony, who is the director of family ministries at Rock Harbor Church and the author of a book, Spiritual Parenting and Awakening for Today's Families. Very good book. Highly recommend it. Michelle, is there a website that you have or that you would point people toward either for the book or for the other resources?
Yeah, they can go to michelleanthony.org.
Good. You talk in your book about the relationship of parents and their churches and Sunday school programs and so on. If a Christian parent says, I want my kid to be spiritually nurtured and I'm counting on the church to do that, what do you think about that? Obviously, churches are there for that purpose, but I think you're warning us against putting too many eggs in that basket.
You're talking to somebody who's spent her whole career in the church. It's my 23rd year being in professional ministry. I love the church. I feel like the church is God's instrument of redemption in the world. But I think what happened was as the breakdown of the family started entering into society and marriages started falling apart and we became distracted with so many things rather than passing on faith to our children, the church sort of saw themselves as the Calvary, you know, riding in, doo-doo-doo, we'll save the family, and took on responsibilities that were not given to them biblically or by God. And so we stepped in to save the family, and we didn't want to see a generation or generations fall away from God or homes that no longer knew the Bible or no longer maybe understood God's character. And so we assumed that role because we saw the void. instead of saying the family's broken, our marriages are broken, communication is breaking down, morals and values, let's support the family to do their role that God gave them. We kind of swarmed in and took it. And I think what we're seeing right now is this movement of God is moving across not only our nation, but the globe, is that the church is saying, wait a minute, we did take on something that wasn't ours. Let's give it back to the parents. And I think parents are kind of, you know, holding up their arms and going like, I don't feel equipped to do that. I don't understand how to do that. I don't have the muscles to do that. And I really believe that it's upon us as the church to not see their fear or their inability or whatever it is, their insecurities, as something we have to take on. And I think it's our job to come alongside of them and to support them, equip them, resource them, and be that strength helping them to do the job that God gave them.
Michelle, what would you say to a parent of a kid who may be adolescent age, who feels like it's too late? Like they say, if I could wind back the hands of time to when my kid was preschool, I would start on all of this, but it's too late to start now. Is it ever too late?
That's a question I get quite often, because I think maybe as they read the book or God awakens something in them, they think like, oh, I blew it. I want to do it again. I want to do it over. I want to do it different. And, you know, isn't that true for any part of our life once God brings awareness to us? You know, we wish we would have made different decisions. And it's never too late in the sense that God is still in control. His perfect plans are not thwarted by the mistakes we make or by the information we didn't have or the situation that we didn't have. He still accomplishes his plan. We look throughout all of biblical history and all of history in general, and we see that God's plans are still accomplished. And so he can redeem any situation. I think there's two things that we do in that. I think we just kind of have that honest conversation with God and we confess either I knew these things and I chose not to do them because I made selfish choices, or I didn't know these things, but I desperately wish I could. And we have that honest conversation with God first. I think sometimes there's a secondary conversation where we go to our children and we tell them about the awakening we're having, or the things that we're discovering, and how we wish we would have done it different and why, but that maybe there's apologies that need to be made in there, or whatever it is. But we tell them, but this is where I am today, and I'm still your parent, and I still want to have an influence in your life, and these are the things I'm learning, and I want to pass them on to you because I love you, and I want God's very, very best for you.
You mentioned in your book that a parent's tendency is to focus on behavior. I can identify with that as a parent. You know, you think that what matters is day by day, how your kid is doing, how they relate to other people, whether they follow your advice and instructions or not. But you warn about placing too much emphasis on external behavior. Can you expand on that? And the whole issue of control. How much control does a parent have over a kid's life?
Yeah, I think there's different stages. When our children are very, very young, we really teach them about God and spirituality through morals and through behaviors. So, you know, when a child is young, we're just teaching them right from wrong. Do this, don't do that. And there's consequences or there's reward systems. What happens is that moral development should transcend into spiritual development, but oftentimes parents don't make that shift. They just stay in moral development. And so what was effective for a preschooler is not so effective for a 16-year-old boy or girl who's coming into adulthood. And what happens is that we have to little by little start focusing on the heart of the matter. As children begin to understand motivations behind the decisions that they're making, we start calling those out and we have discussions about them. And when they say their feelings, we don't cut them off. We don't say, well, it doesn't matter how you felt or what you were thinking. I just want you to do A or B. We have to listen to those because they're giving us cues into the motivations of why they're making the decisions that they're making. And those will serve as markers for us later in their life, if not then, but also later in life. And I think the danger that you speak of is that we stop becoming intuitive to their souls, and we cue them to not be intuitive to their souls. And we can set up a system in their mind that says your behavior is all that matters, not your heart. And that was never true for Jesus. I mean, when he was here and he would talk to people, he added some of his harshest words for the people who behaved perfectly, you know, for all due respect, but their hearts were dark and their hearts were not following God. And on the contrast, he was so tender and loving and gave grace to those whose outward behavior was appalling, but had a heart to follow God or have a heart to be forgiven. And so we want to make sure we're representing God in that. And I think what the other danger is that our kids will go into hiding. They'll understand which behaviors are not acceptable in their home, and without a transformed heart, they'll have no other choice than to act it out and serve the consequence or to hide. And I think we have a lot of good Christian kids on the outside, but that are hiding, and they're desperately dark in the inside, and they don't know what it means to have a relationship with God.
Michelle Anthony is the author of Spiritual Parenting and Awakening for Today's Families. You can get her book online or in a local bookstore, or go to her website, michelleanthony.org, and check it out. Michelle, thank you so much for writing the book, and thank you for talking to us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
One last thing. For parents, remember that where spiritual parenting begins is the spiritual development of the parent. Make sure that you are in a place where you have a relationship with God in Christ. You're growing in that relationship, and that's the best thing that you can do for your kid.